Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Or at least you may be seated for the moment. Why did I hear uh-oh? You may have noticed if you came through this door that we all know the front seats aren't used anyway. We're good Lutherans. We sit in the back. And therefore, there are things on the front seat. Today, we have audience participation time. Think of it as a very long children's sermon, and you, of course, are all the children of God. Let me explain. Francis Kipps Spencer was born of missionary parents in Kurisa, Japan, in 1917. The family returned to the United States when she was 3 years old, and she was raised in various towns in Pennsylvania, where her father served as a Lutheran minister. In 1940, she married Harry Whiting Spencer and made her home in Danville, Virginia, where she attended Ascension Lutheran Church. In 1957, Frances began thinking of ways that she might decorate the Christmas tree in her church. The usual lights and ornaments, she thought, were not appropriate for a worship setting, so she began researching and considering ways to represent the Christian faith in decorations. She began by trying to imagine herself in the shoes of Mary, the mother of Jesus, asking how Mary might celebrate Jesus' birthday. In our time, how do we celebrate birthdays? Well, with a cake, with our name on it. Frances looked at the traditional Christmas tree as a sort of cake to be decorated. And so she put on it Jesus' name and title, Christ. However, she did not do it in English. Instead, she used the Greek monogram, Kairo, which looks like an X and a P. It stands for the first two letters of the word Christos. That first chrismon tree, a chrismon being a combination of the words for Christ and monogram, contained simple monograms of Jesus Christ, as well as a few crosses. As the beauty and meaning of chrismons attracted people, Frances added other designs, more symbols and signs used by the early Christians. As time went on, the designs became more elaborate in meaning and execution. She began to create original designs that told more about Christ and his teachings. The ornaments are white and gold, white to symbolize purity, and gold to symbolize majesty. These ornaments always point to God, proclaiming some truth about God as seen in Jesus. Francis wrote and illustrated 5 books about the chrismons, explaining how they should be constructed and what they mean. Through these books, the chrismon idea reached countries all over the world. Churches of various denominations have used the idea to communicate that Christmas is a celebration of Christ's birth and to instruct those who view them about Jesus. Today, we will be decorating our tree with chrismons made by members of this church. According to an old church newsletter, members of this church started working in May 1968 to make the first chrismons, which were made of styrofoam or wire and decorated the tree in December of 1968. Ornaments have been replaced and added through the years. So may these chrismons inspire you as you prepare your heart to celebrate the birth of Christ. So on those front pews, beginning here, going through here, and then starting over here, and going to the end, I have the chrismons laid out. I'm going to ask you to come forward and to hang one of these ornaments on the tree as I talk about it. So audience participation time. I expect you all to get up. All right. Nev, over here. Over here.
There's an order, I think.
There's an order. As I say, extended children's sermon. So that one, yes. Hold it up. Let everyone see it. This is the Cairo. For he is the Christ, the anointed one of God. The most widely known chrismon is a combination of the first 2 letters of the Greek word for Christ. The Greek letter chi looks like the English letter X, while the Greek letter rho looks like the English P. And next, we have the chi and the cross. The first letter in the Greek word for Christ, chi, is combined with the cross. Only when we understand the Christ and the cross can we begin to understand the breadth and width and depth of God's love. To symbolize the nativity, a rose has been placed in the center of this symbol. Next, the iota eta sigma. These are the first letters of the name Jesus in Greek. The first letter, iota, looks much like our English letter I. The second letter, eta, looks like the English letter N with a tail. The third letter, sigma, may be written as either an English S or C. And here it looks like the English letter C. The Son of Righteousness. The prophet Malachi wrote, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." The iota chi. The iota is the first letter of the name Jesus in Greek. The chi is the first letter of the Greek title Christ, the promised one. The Greek word Christ is a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one. When the 2 letters are superimposed, they appear to represent a star. The Christ child in the manger. The circle is superimposed with a chi and a small circle at the top to represent a manger. Christ was born in the lowliness and ordinariness of a manger. The daisy. This is a representation of the innocence of the Christ child. The angel. In the Gospel of Luke, we read how the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce to her that she would be the mother of the Messiah. We also read how the angels went to the shepherds tending their flocks in the fields to tell them about the Savior's birth. Glory to God in the highest, they sang. Angels symbolize that the gospel message is for everyone. The Epiphany Star. The word epiphany means appearance or revelation. This star has 5 points, reminiscent of the Star of David. It points to the divinity of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, a star pointed the Magi to the place where the child Jesus could be found. The 6-pointed star. Here, the symbolism is of crosses set at angles, suggesting the close relationship between the birth and death of Jesus. Three entwined circles. This is a symbol for the Holy Trinity, one God in three persons, each eternal. All of these chrismons tell us who this child is that we are celebrating. And what is this child to do? The Latin cross. Although we are not certain of the shape of the cross on which Jesus was crucified, the Latin cross is the one most widely used in the Western Church. It reminds us that Christ suffered and died on the cross, taking the punishment of our sins upon himself and dying so that we might be reconciled with God and have eternal life. The Greek cross. When all extensions of a cross are of equal length, it is called a Greek cross. The formal balance of the Greek cross facilitates its use with other figures in Christian art. Two chais. Two chais superimposed upon each other. The chi in its usual position represents Christ. The chi in the position of the cross represents Christ's crucifixion. Together they remind us of what the baby in the manger came to earth to do. The serpent on the Tau cross. This is a reminder of an event in the Old Testament where serpents were biting the Israelites in the desert, and Moses was instructed to make a serpent on a pole. All who gazed on the symbol were saved. The Gospel of John records these words of Jesus: as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Passion Cross. The pointed ends of this cross are a reminder of the points of the nails, the crown of thorns, and the spear thrust into Jesus' side as he hung on the cross. The cross in glory. The rising sun behind the cross suggests a new day when our Lord conquered death through his resurrection. The circle. A circle symbolizes eternity. It is a reminder of God, who is the eternal one, and of the promise of eternal life with God. The butterfly. The butterfly is a symbol not only of our Lord's resurrection, but the resurrection of all who die in Christ. When a caterpillar enters a chrysalis, its old body dies, and it is transformed, emerging as a butterfly. Christ's body was placed in the tomb, and he emerged victorious over death. The fish. Early Christians used the fish as an easily made and recognized secret sign. During the times that the early church was being persecuted, Christians could find each other by using this simple password. To the outside, the fish seemed to be merely a decoration. However, to the Christian, it was an affirmation of faith in Christ. The fish, the ichthys. Ichthys is the Greek word for fish. And the name contains the letters that stand for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. But why a fish? First, because the first disciples that Jesus called were fishermen. And second, when he told them to follow him, he said that he would make them fishers of people. The tree of life. In Jesus we have life, and that life is everlasting. Just as through a tree in the Garden of Eden death came into the world, so through a tree came eternal life. Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life, and that all who believe in him, even though they die a bodily death, will have eternal life. The crown. The crown is a symbol for the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It reminds us of our Savior's victory over sin and death and his place of honor at the right hand of God.
That's where Dean told me to put it.
That's fine. Through this child, we have been blessed with the most perfect gift we can ever receive. Because of this, our lives are filled with joy. The love of God has entered the world. It has entered our hearts. This love is too much for our hearts to contain. It spills over into love for our families, our neighbors, our communities, our world. When we forget, we need to look back on two symbols, the manger and the cross, to see how much God loves us. This baby is Son of God, Son of Mary, Savior, Redeemer, Christ, Messiah, Emmanuel. Also on that first pew, you will see that we have some other decorations. They are the words peace, joy, faith, hope, grace, and love. So I'm going to ask that you consider those words, peace, joy, faith, hope, grace, and love. And after the service, take one of those and place it on the tree. And just take a moment to be thankful for the joy that is in our hearts because of this child born for us. Amen.
Amen.
Let's join together in the hymn of the day, Hark the Glad Sound. It is number 239.
Let every heart prepare.
Let us together profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In this season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. Holy God, renew your church and raise up leaders who announce your good news. Grant peace to congregations and seminarians in the midst of transition. Guide the work of candidacy and call committees. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Creating God, your Spirit brought forth the earth and all that is in it. Breathe life in us, that we are inspired to live in harmony with one another and the planet. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Shepherding God, you lead your people in paths of righteousness. Raise up prophets in our own day who warn against captivity to greed and point us to the freedom found in generosity. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Nurturing God, you come near in times of worry and need. Cradle us in your arms, that we trust you and are not afraid. Attend to any who are hungry, imprisoned, or ill this day, especially those that we name at this time or in the quietness of our hearts. And for all those on our prayer chain. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Rejoice in God, you exult over us in singing. Enliven the song of this assembly and bless the ministry of church musicians with instruments and dance. Join our voices to the song of all creation. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. We give you thanks for your servants who showed us your goodness and grace. By the power of your Spirit, keep us steadfast in faith until we make our home in you. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of new life, you come among us in the places we least expect. Receive these prayers and those of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share with one another a sign of peace. I'll do it my way. And we thank you for sending in your offerings to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory. We give thee but thine own. It is number 686.
We bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them are
our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need, until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom he will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join with their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, for whom
we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day, when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the blessing. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Let us join together in our sending song, He Came Down. It is number 253.
He came down that we may have.
There were 14 strings of legs.